Good morning. Shall we pray? Almighty God, you are the giver and taker of life. You know all of our days before we take our first breath. You knit us together in our mother's wombs. You know all things. And so today we stand in awe of you and your many works, which are all designed to take us home to be with you in glory. Let us listen to you. Let us be with you where you may be found. And bless us, Lord, now, today, as we remember our dearly departed. We ask all these things through Christ our Lord. Amen. Dying, Christ destroyed our death. Rising, Christ restored our life. Christ will come again in glory. Just as in baptism, Ron put on Christ, so in Christ may he be clothed with glory. Here and now, dear friends, we are God's children, and what we shall be has not yet been revealed. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Those who have this hope in God's truth purify themselves just as Christ is pure. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of hell and death. And because I live, you shall live also. Friends, brothers and sisters, we have gathered here together to praise God and to witness to our faith and celebrate the life of Ronald Risinger. We come together in grief, acknowledging our own human loss, but may God continue to grant us grace, that in this pain we may find comfort, that in this sorrow and every sorrow we would find hope, and in this death and our own death we will find our own resurrection, as Christ has promised. Amen. Our first hymn is number 546. Would you turn in the hymnal to Amazing Grace, number 546. short reading of the obituary and a little bit of a eulogy in loving memory of Ronald J. Reisinger of Doylestown, Ohio, who departed this world on November 24th, 2024, at the age of 86. He leaves behind a legacy remembered by his family and friends. He was predeceased by his parents, Joseph Jr. and Helen Reisinger, his wife, Nancy, his son, Ronald Reisinger Jr., and his siblings, Carol Ann Reisinger and Robert Reisinger. He is survived by his son, Adam, married to Donna of Barberton, his grandchildren, Brianna and Caden, his sisters, Patty Marinelli of Youngstown and Mary Jo Reisinger of Youngstown, his niece, Jill Boggs, and his nephew, Todd Reisinger. He is also survived by many other family members and friends. Visitation will be held on Saturday, November 30th, from 10:30 to 11:30 at Mount Zwingli United Church of Christ. Funeral service follows at the same location. Regarding words about Ron, everybody at the church that knew him loved him. They felt that he was their friend and vice versa. There are many who could not be here today because of the holiday weekend, but the friendships were strong and they were true, and we thank God for this life that was lived before us. Ron did work as a GTE facilities locator and other jobs over the years with the same company. And now, would you turn to the next hymn, just a couple of pages in, The Old Rugged Cross, number 548. This time we will share the 23rd Psalm together, and if you would take your program, you'll find on the inside of the program in the box, there is the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is My Shepherd." Would you join me as we recite this together? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Just wanted to share a few thoughts with you on the first verse of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is written by King David 1,000 years before Christ. And he writes these words that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus then later, you may recall, he identified himself in the Gospel of John as the good shepherd. And so he identified himself and attached himself to this psalm, identifying that indeed the Lord is our shepherd and that Jesus is our Lord. Well, what does it mean to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want? It means this. It means that I don't need any other thing in the world, because He is all that we need. He holds the keys of hell and death. He holds the key to heaven. We don't need anything else. There is nothing else that can harm us. And yet, brothers and sisters, we have days of pain, don't we? We have days of sickness. We may have years of sickness, as we've evidenced with Ron. And yet, we call out in faith, trying to believe these words, that we don't need anything else in the world, the Lord, because the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. And of course, He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Death is our enemy. Sickness is our enemy. But even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and that's where we are this morning, we are looking at death straight in the eye. He is with us. He is with us, and He walks with us through this day. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It's interesting, these words, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. My father said that he learned late in life that these words had special meaning for him, because he was quite sick with, he had a couple of illnesses, and he died at a fairly young age. But he said, you know, that God's rod and His staff, they are things that correct us. They are reminders to get on the right path. And sometimes He has to use that rod to prod us, to poke us, to get our attention. And sometimes it's the hook around our neck to drag us into the right way that we are to go. And he said, those things, I once thought, were not beautiful, but now I think they are beautiful, because it is God's love that drags me into the place that I need to go, or prods me into the place that I should go. None of us are perfect on this earth. My father, being a pastor, I lived with him, so I knew that he wasn't. None of us are perfect. The Bible is very clear about that. Thank you. The Lord is our shepherd, and we should not have want for anything. I'm told that two times in his life, Ron rolled a perfect 300 game. He loved bowling and he loved model trains. I've never bowled a perfect 300 game. I think as close as I got was I had 6 frames. That was it. And then he messed up. But did you know that Jesus is always perfect? Jesus always rolls a 300. He rolls from here and there. He doesn't matter where he stands. He can be way back or real close. You know, you can't go over the line, and you can start. You know, those dots that are in the width of the lane. It doesn't matter. Sometimes we think, "What Jesus? What are you doing over there?" He says, "Don't worry, I've got it under control." He rolls from here and there, and we sometimes wonder what he's doing. But he is the one who sees the end from the beginning, and he never makes a mistake. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 8:28 that he makes all things work together for our good. Sickness and death, bad times, good times. We love the good times, but we often wonder what God is doing in the bad times. But we are reminded that here on earth, we have not found perfection yet, but we believe in one who is perfect. I'd like to give you just a couple more thoughts this morning of how the Lord keeps life going on planet Earth, because things live and they die on planet Earth. Life itself is a miracle, and according to scientists, it's a miracle that there is life on any planet. And I don't want to bore you with the very small percentage that it takes for life to be anywhere in any galaxy, on any planet. But Earth is at a very good distance from its star, which we call the Sun. And the Moon, although it gives us light in the nighttime and in the daytime occasionally, but a better thing that it does is it keeps the tides going, which purifies the water on the planet. And it also keeps the larger planets, from dragging us into a collision course with the Sun with their huge gravitational pull. And the Moon is a counterbalance, if you will, much like in a gasoline engine. And that's the way scientists are describing it now. By the way, they just discovered this in the last 20 years. The Moon was keeping us from crashing into the Sun. I shouldn't say that. I'm getting older now. It's been 40 years. Okay. Wow. It was 1980. It's funny how I do these sermons, and after I am no longer 25. So the Bible tells us that we have a secret weapon on Earth that keeps us alive. Do you know what that is? It is God looking at you and looking at me. Scripture tells us that. Scripture says if he were to stop looking on you, you would die. The Bible tells us that when Jesus was on the cross, that the Father looked away. And it was only when the Father looked away that Jesus could die. And Jesus cried out these words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And so, there is, I love the Hebrew scriptures, and I'm not going to bore you with all of that this morning either, but if anybody wants to learn Hebrew or talk about Hebrew and some good books, I'm more than happy, but my wife thinks I bore people when I talk to them like that. So, but if you're a nerd like me with things like that, I'm happy to speak with you. But there is something in the Hebrew scriptures called the Shema. And it goes like this, and it is a combination of a couple of scriptures. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. These were words given to the people of Israel as they were finally free from captivity and Joshua had read these words to them, this blessing to them, as they entered into the new land that was promised to them, the promised land, the land of Canaan. You may recall that Moses, because he he wasn't perfect and he disobeyed God in a small thing, but God said, that's enough. You're not going to lead the children of Israel into the land. These were Joshua's words. And so, we have a beautiful thing standing before us this day. God looks at us. He makes His face shine upon us. And we come alive. When we are in the presence of God, and I hope that you are often in the presence of God, it is then that He looks upon us even closer and He fills us with His presence. So, brothers and sisters, I pray that you may have the ability to see the good in the bad, the good in the terrible, the blessing in the curse, because that is the way God sees things. Where we see a cross, God sees an empty grave. Where we see death, God sees a resurrection for all of those who are in Christ. Amen. Our final hymn is number 227. I would invite you to join us as we sing In the Garden.
The garden of love, where the
receive the dismissal with blessing. And now may He who created heaven and earth continue to speak to us of His glory and His supremacy. And may He continue to speak through the times we get together with loved ones, for Thanksgiving, for Christmas, for all holidays, for birthdays. May we put away our own limited knowledge and have faith in His greater knowledge that He speaks to us through His Scriptures. It is a blessing to have the Lord look upon you. It is life. It is blessing. He is working through every situation in the lives of those who love Him. And He is right now making all things work together for good for those who love Him. And He's making the bad things work together as well for our good. And now, brothers and sisters, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Amen.